listening to One to One with Paul Costello, a podcast from the Stanford School of Medicine.
Leading stem cell expert and Stanford professor of pediatrics Maria Grazia Roncarolo will be leading a session on stem cell and gene therapy at Stanford's inaugural Child X conference being held April 2nd and 3rd. Roncarolo's session will focus on building and deploying approaches in gene therapy, stem cells, and regenerative medicine to cure many childhood diseases. Roncarolo joined the School of Medicine last June after stepping down as scientific director of San Rafael Scientific Institute in Milan. She was recruited to lead efforts in fast-tracking stem cell and gene therapy to the clinic and to bring basic science discoveries to patients. According to noted stem cell researcher Irv Weissman, director of Stanford's Institute for Stem Cell Biology and Regenerative Medicine, no single person has done as much as she in this field or as successfully. Dr. Roncarolo joins me today to discuss her work as well as Child X, a TED-style conference focusing on inspiring innovation in pediatric and maternal health. She is a pediatric immunologist at Lucile Packard Children's Hospital, Stanford. She serves as co-director of Stanford's Institute for Stem Cell Biology and Regenerative Medicine. Thank you for joining me in One-to-One, Dr. Roncarolo. As you know, in 1999, the death of Jesse Gelsinger in a gene therapy trial really changed dramatically gene therapy in the U.S. And it was a huge setback for many years. And since that time, there have been key advances that have not only changed the perception, but have also changed the science. And I wondered if you could walk us back through post-1999, and if there are some particular significant moments since then where gene therapy became accelerated in its capabilities.
Well, there is no doubt that the death of Jesse in 1999 was a major setback for gene therapy. It was a tragedy. And also, after that, in 2002, there was a major setback when one of the children in a French trial where they cure with gene therapy severe combined immunodeficiency, one of the child developed leukemia as a result of the gene therapy. And after that, a number of other kids developed leukemia. So these were major setbacks, which were unexpected and unforeseen. I would say that the major problem was that we underestimated the complexity which takes to manipulate the genome and to introduce a healthy gene to fix a genetic disease. However, from these mistakes and from these tragedies, we learned a lot. And we were really forced as a doctor, but more importantly, as scientists, to go back to the bench and really develop better technology and understand more what was required. So if we look now, we are 16 years later, we can say that the technology we have today is much more advanced than what we used then. We use better vectors, which are the carriers to introduce the healthy gene. We learn much more on what we have to do to prepare the patients to receive the gene therapy. And we also learn that we need to do a very careful monitoring of the patients to really understand where the genes lands in the genome.
Was it really a climb in many respects out of rubble because a lot of researchers left the field of gene therapy?
Yes, indeed. I remember, especially in those years, a number of scientists were discouraged. A number of industries left the gene therapy field because they didn't believe in gene therapy as a therapy for to cure rare and also common diseases.
And the money basically dried up.
Yes. But I must say that a few centers, including the center where I was working in Milan, which is supported by the Italian Telethon Foundation, and also the French Telethon Foundation, for example, and many other centers in the United States, continue to believe and to support the research. And if we look today, the landscape is completely changed. So today we can say that we cured with gene therapy a number of genetic diseases which were incurable a few years ago.
Can you talk about those, the specifics of what diseases have been cured?
Sure. Let me start with my own personal experience. I had the privilege in Milan to be the principal investigator of a gene therapy trial, which is really considered a landmark in gene therapy because we use retroviral vectors, which are carriers for the gene, which have limitations, but also at that time were the only vector we could use to manipulate the bone marrow cells of a patient with severe combined immunodeficiency. This was a particularly difficult disease because it's a severe combined immunodeficiency due to a defect in an enzyme, the adenosine deaminase. So the gene therapy in these patients really cured them. And this was really the first, and I must say today, the only successful trial using the retroviral vector. And again, I was the principal investigator of a trial in a Wiskotalgis syndrome, which is a very complex disease of the blood. There is immunodeficiency, but also there is defect in multiple lineages of the blood, for example, the platelets, with severe bleeding of these patients. Now, we treat these patients successfully with gene therapy. And the other major achievement back in my institute in Milan was in metachromatic leukodystrophy. This is a metabolic disease which was incurable before gene therapy. And now we can cure this patient with gene therapy and we can give them an opportunity for life. But also, you know, not only the trials in Milan, I mentioned the three more important trials in Milan, but many other trials in the United States and in Europe show that now we can successfully and safely cure patients with genetic diseases, number of genetic diseases, you know, hemophilia, thalassemia, sickle cell anemia, genetic diseases of the retina that give congenital blindness. So there are definitely trials out there that show that gene therapy can cure and can be safe.
What is the particular specifics of the panel, and what are you hoping to accomplish at that?
I think the panel comprises a number of excellent speakers in the field of gene therapy and stem cell therapy. So we'll give really an overview of where we are in the field of purifying, differentiating, and expanding stem cells, not only blood stem cells, but also tissue stem cells, and how we can manipulate these stem cells to correct the genetic defect. I also think that it will be interesting because side by side with academic investigator, the keynote speaker is the global head of orphan disease of a major big pharma. And he will give the perspective of the industry in the field of gene therapy. So right now, gene therapy for genetic diseases is mostly applied to orphan diseases, so to rare diseases. And the fact that Big Pharma decided to invest in these rare diseases is a very interesting business model, because basically is a possibility to partner with industry, biotech or Big Pharma, to bring this gene therapy product as a drug from the bench to the bedside of the patient, but more importantly, through all the process of registration of the drug and make it accessible and approved for the market and therefore accessible to every patient in need. So to go through all this stage of phase one, phase two, phase three, registration and marketing, you need an industry. So really it takes a village. It takes the basic scientists, it takes the gene therapy physician scientists like me, it takes the clinician, it takes the industry to bring the drug to the market.
Which is really a big step, it seems, because big pharma usually stays out of financing orphan drugs, correct?
Correct. But it changed. It changed for two reasons. One is a pragmatical reason that now when you bring to the market a drug for an orphan disease, you have a privileged path to registration, which speed up the process.
By the FDA?
Yes, by the FDA and also by the European Medicinal Agency. But more importantly, I think that Big Pharma understood what we as physician scientists understood many years ago, that when you apply the new drug to an orphan disease and you establish a proof of concept, a proof of principle that this gene therapy drug works and is safe, you need a small number of patients to validate your drug, and then you can leverage what you learn in this small number of patients for diseases which are more frequent and more common and, if you will, more profitable.
You came to Stanford in 2014 from Milan, from the San Rafael Scientific Institute. What attracted you to Stanford? Why Stanford? And what's being done here in stem cell therapy, in gene therapy, that got you so excited about what you could do?
I think Stanford has a tremendous opportunity to revolutionize the field of stem cell and gene therapy. This basic science is really at the cutting edge of innovation. When we look at the scientists that work in the field of stem cells at Stanford, it's a critical mass of really innovation and knowledge that is quite unique. Stanford only, I would say. So what I saw is really the opportunity to translate this tremendous amount of knowledge, which is now at the level of the bench side, to the bedside. So from the bench to the bedside. And when we translate this knowledge to the bedside, we really advance medicine. And more importantly, we will cure patients that are now with incurable diseases. So that's what attracted me here. I saw a tremendous potential. And of course, together with the tremendous potential, I saw also a commitment from Stanford to invest in translational research, both in the pediatric but also in the adult side, and especially in translational research in cell and gene therapy.
Where do you see the greatest hope in the incurable diseases for pediatric cases for children? What do you see on the horizon as really the things that patients should really be, and parents and loved ones of children should be looking at as the greatest hope?
I would make a distinction. The ladder of the translational research consists in different steps, you know, from the step of identify the gene which is defective in case of genetic diseases, to the step in identify the mechanism that caused the disease, and to the step of targeting the disease for gene therapy. So when we think about genetic diseases and what we can do at Stanford, one unique opportunity is really to move forward gene therapy using purified stem cells, both blood purified stem cells, but also tissue stem cells. We have a stem for a very advanced technology of genome editing that we can use to correct these tissue stem cells. And also we have a number of novel biological drugs that can help us to prepare the patients to receive these cells. And these biological drugs would make a huge difference because it would mean that we can perform the gene therapy without the need of chemotherapy to prepare the patient. So in a much less toxic and risky way. So if we adopt these three steps, the genome editing, the use of purified stem cells, and the better preparation of the patient, these three steps would revolutionize the field of gene therapy for genetic diseases. Now, one other area, which of course we should not forget, is gene therapy in cancer. So there have been really an explosion of clinical trials in which they use gene therapy, this time not with stem cells, but with mature lymphocytes to fight leukemic relapse or other cancer. So also in this field, the gene therapy can make a big difference in the way in which we manage the patients, but also in the disease-free survival of these patients.
Let's talk about your career for a second. How did you decide to focus your research in pediatrics, in immunology and pediatrics? What was the trajectory of your choices?
Well, I always knew that I wanted to be a doctor, and I always knew that I wanted to be a physician scientist. And I wanted to work in pediatric diseases. What was not obvious that when I started my training, I was already in the fourth, fifth year of my medical school, I had a period of internship in the pediatric immunology department. And at that time, we're talking about a few years ago, the severe combined immunodeficient patient that I was discussing before, that we can cure them with the gene therapy, but also for those that the gene therapy is not ready yet, we can cure a large majority of them with a better procedure of allogeneic bone marrow transplantation. So at that time, they were always dying. So these were kids that were born healthy, so the parents thought to have a healthy baby, and then in a very rapid sequence, they would become very sick and die in the first year of life. So I was incredibly frustrated by that. At that time in my own hometown, where I did my medical school, we didn't have even the possibility to do this stem cell transplantation from a healthy donor. So as soon as I finished my medical school and I started my residency, I asked the permission to go abroad, to go to France, because they had a very innovative program using fetal stem cells to try to transplant and cure these kids. So I spent 1 year and then later on 4 years in Lyon trying really to use this fetal stem cell to cure kids with severe combined immunodeficiency. At that time, I started to be exposed also to kids with metabolic diseases. And it became very clear that although this fetal stem cell worked in a limited number of severe combined immunodeficiency, as soon as we tried to treat metabolic diseases or other more complex diseases of the blood, like thalassemia or sickle cell anemia, they didn't work. So that was disappointing. Although we had some success. For example, we did the first in utero transplant in kids with severe combined immunodeficiency, and we cured the fetus. And the fetus was born as a healthy baby. So we had success, but was limited to the very specialized class of genetic diseases, whereas I thought that this fetal stem cell could be universal cure for many other genetic diseases. So at that time, I decided it was time for me to go back to the bench. So I moved to the Dynex Research Institute, which at that time was a cutting-edge research institute in immunology and molecular biology. And I started to work with stem cells, blood stem cells, and start to work also to understand how tolerance to stem cells can be achieved, because one of the major problems when we use stem cells from a healthy donor is the rejection of these cells by the patient immune system, or sometimes the rejection of the donor cells against the patient. That is called this devastating graft-versus-host disease, as we technically define it. So I spent several years at the bench. I set up, in collaboration with Herr Weissman and other people at Stanford, a number of humanized preclinical models to investigate the mechanism of engraftment and tolerance of allogenic stem cells. And then I had the opportunity to go back to Italy to build the Teleton Gene Therapy Institute in Milan, and I felt that it was time for me to go back to my country and try to contribute to establish this this gene therapy institute, which is a small institute, but is really considered a leading institute in the world for gene therapy for genetic diseases.
When you look at California, the California Institute for Regenerative Medicine, the funding mechanism for most, for a lot of stem cell research going on in California, what do you see as its impact as someone who came in and looked at this and discovered it and came to know about it and get research dollars from it? What's been the impact of CIRM?
When you look at the research in stem cells before CIRM and after CIRM, you see that California is now really at the top of this in this field. And many people also that were not necessarily working in the stem cell field, work in fields that were maybe linked to stem cells, but not necessarily stem cells, started to work in stem cells because of the funding opportunity. So I think this was a tremendous accomplishment by the California people. And I really think it made a tremendous difference for the science. Now we start also to see the results, so the translation of these science into clinical trials. But of course, we should not forget the translating a result that is generated in the lab into a therapeutics for a patient takes years. And we cannot cut corners, because if we cut corners, we take risk. And risk results in tragedy for the patients. So, you know, really to bring a result which is generated in the lab to the patient as a safe and effective therapy, you need many years. Pharmaceutical industries take 10, 15 years. In academia, we can be faster and we can be now better because we learned a lot in these years with gene therapy and stem cells. But still, only now you start to see the results of this major investment. And my prediction is that in the next 5-10 years, you really will see the outcome of this investment. And I'm convinced that it will be a tremendous outcome for the patients. And again, maybe the initial clinical trials will be in a small number of patients. But still, what you learn from this small number of patients, you can leverage to other diseases. And again, coming back to CIRM, I think that if we are patients, and sometimes we are impatient as a scientific community, but also as a lay community, we will really see the outcome of this investment in therapies for patients.
What are you hoping the conversation that begins at Child X and continues after the conference, what are you hoping will be the result of Child X?
I hope, first of all, to make people understanding what we are doing, the potential of what we are doing for curing diseases that today are incurable. So to understand that the science we do every day in the field of stem cell and gene therapy as a very precise goal, which is make incurable disease curable, and to offer opportunities to children who today don't have an opportunity and don't have a cure. So really to make people understanding what we are doing, understanding the potential, creating a network, because, you know, again, when you think about this field, it's a complex field. So you need multiple actors.
The field of gene therapy.
Yes. You need multiple actors to succeed. And you need also support from the community to succeed. And you need support from industry. So, you know, it's a teamwork. It's a teamwork. You cannot do it in isolation. It cannot be just me that decide that next disease that I cure with gene therapy is cystic fibrosis or, you know, skin disease or sickle cell anemia, thalassemia. I need a team of people that do that with me. A team of professionals, but also a community that supports this effort and understands the benefit that we will generate with this effort. And I need partnership with industry that will be able to take the product that I proved to be safe and effective and bring it to the market and make it accessible to every patient in need.
Maria Grazia Roncarolo, thank you for joining me in One to One.
Thank you. Thanks.
The preceding program is copyrighted by the Board of Trustees of Stanford University. One to One is produced by the School of Medicine's Office of Communication and Public Affairs. For more information, please visit us at mednews.stanford.edu.